Twin Cities Orthopedics is proud to be the official sports medicine provider for Tommy Athletics. TCO is trusted by some of the biggest names in sports, and they bring that same level of care to our athletes. Thank you, TCO, for being a part of our team. Visit TCOMN.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to Tommy Talks, the weekly podcast bringing you inside St. Thomas Athletics, where we'll get to know those who wear the purple and gray. I'm Corbu Status, and this week our guest is Will Frazier, a senior on the men's golf team. We talk about transferring to St. Thomas from South Dakota State, spending his summers golfing in Iowa, and winning at the age of 11. We also talk about bobblehead golf on Instagram. Is it a hole-in-one if there's nobody there to see it? And much more. Now, here's our conversation with Will Frazier on another edition of Tommy Talks. Will, welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Let's start off with sometimes the first question isn't the easiest, but maybe it will be. We'll never. Okay. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Why did you choose St. Thomas?
Yeah. So the reason that I chose St. Thomas was I obviously started at South Dakota State, and actually knew my coach Matt Raichy coming into it. He was the assistant at the University of Minnesota, and I have some friends there, and they all had great things to say about him. And I kind of just basically begged him to come play for him. Really want to be a part of the team, and it's been great since. Love it here. I like to be a little bit closer to home, and with all the facilities and the guys, it's been really good.
Was there ever any consternation? You go from South Dakota State, which is an established Division I program, to you're coming to St. Thomas, which is still kind of getting their feet underneath them at the D1 level.
Absolutely. It was something that for sure went through my mind, but because Matt was at the U, I knew that he kind of understood what mm-hmm. that D1 lifestyle and what the standards expected to be. So I wasn't worried about that. I think the biggest thing that I really liked about and thought about with coming here was in high school, I loved when I got older and could be a leader and help other people understand kind of the ropes and what to do. And I felt like right away here, I could jump in, be kind of have that same role with that understanding of I've already played 2.5 years of Division I golf. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some things that I can add, some nuggets that can help the other guys on the team understand what's going on.
So you leave South Dakota State after 2.5 years.
Yep.
What do you do that spring semester where you've kind of, it's just Will Frazier's world?
Yes. So it's tough because obviously, I mean, for me, I wanted to just graduate in 4 years right away. Mm-hmm. Didn't necessarily want to leave. It just kind of ended up being the way that it was going to work best. And so I worked at Second Swing, which is a golf store in Minneapolis. Yep. And then just started playing tournaments a lot right away in the spring. Was hoping that I'd play well so that they'd want me. Basically, is how it went.
Trying out one way or the other.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite part about working at Second Swing?
So I worked there for probably 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And then stopped, obviously, once I started coming to St. Thomas again. And then just started working there again here, just on the weekends. And my favorite part about it is I already knew everyone, and they're all buddies pretty much. So I already knew kind of what to do. So yeah. I knew what to do, knew all the guys, and it was going to be an easy way to make some money. So
that's right.
It's just been fun helping people get new golf clubs.
Yeah, fitting them into the right swing and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly, yep.
Okay, so then tell us, how much of a difference does it really make? The club selection, the ball selection. And let's just talk, at your level,
yep.
I think ball selection matters.
Absolutely,
right?
Yep.
Like, I'm not a great golfer, but I can tell when I'm playing. I can tell with
absolutely.
Different balls.
Yeah.
Clubs make a big difference. Again, I'm not a great golfer. I'll just hit whatever that you get me. But for a guy who's in his 80s, shooting mid-80s, maybe even 90s, how much does it really matter?
Yeah, I think it can make a massive difference, okay? Mm-hmm. Because when we look at the biggest thing that I notice is people will come in with drivers with incorrect shafts or an incorrect loft on their driver, and they're losing. I mean, I've had people that have gained 50 yards just by getting them into the
5-0.
Right. 5-0. Yeah.
Wow.
So for example, say a good spin rate with a driver would be in the mid-2000s, and I'll have a person come in with a 12-degree driver, but they swing really fast, and they need a 9-degree driver. Mm-hmm. Well, your spin rate goes from 5,000 to 2,000. I mean, that is probably going to gain you 30 yards right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it does make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
At what age did you start to be able to tell, okay, what clubs I'm in, what ball I'm playing really does make a difference for me?
When I started to realize that I might be good enough to, play competitive golf and maybe play college golf was probably when I was 11. Mm-hmm. I actually lived in the summers. I lived down in Clear Lake, Iowa with my grandparents. and I won a lot of tournaments that summer. Granted, looking back at it, the competition wasn't very stiff, but it was really good for me to get that competition and to play against those guys. And I started to think about these things like what clubs I'm using, what kind of ball I'm using, how can I do the little things right to get an edge on who I'm playing. So I would say when I was 11.
Yeah. How did you get into golf?
It's interesting because I grew up in Apple Valley, and so we lived next door to a guy who played quite a bit of golf. His name was Brian, and I would just hit wiffle balls with my dad and him in between our yard. We had probably 25 yards to hit, and that kind of is what got me into it. But my dad isn't a great golfer. He likes it, but he shoots like 90s.
Yeah.
So I think what got me into golf was for sure him. But then after that, it was just kind of the itch to be competitive, more so than loving golf. I was just competitive.
Do you remember the first time you beat your dad?
Oh, yeah. I was probably 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt pretty good.
Oh, it was great.
Especially at that age, right?
Yeah.
Because your parents are still at that age pretty mythical. Like, they're pretty awesome. And then you...
Oh, yeah.
You're better
exactly.
than your dad at something.
Wait, my dad's like... I thought he was a stud, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, my God. He's human.
Yep.
This is weird. All right. So you spent your summers down in down in Clear Lake, Iowa. What was that like? You go down, you're spending time with your family, obviously, but I mean, a summer away is a summer away.
Yeah. So I did that for 5 years and just lived with my grandparents. And I was kind of just so motivated at a young age to work at the game and get better. There's a course called Oak Hills Par 30. So it's just basically a par 3 course. And I'd go there from probably 8:30 in the morning until 5 p.m. Yeah. Sometimes I wish that I still had that same itch to play that much golf as I did back then, but it was great. My strengths in my game have always been the closer that I get to the hole, I feel like the better that I get.
Yeah.
And I think it's 100% because of playing there growing up.
For sure. Yeah, I worked at a driving range through high school and into college, and I can hit the ball fine. I can't putt worth a dang.
But yep.
Because that's what you do, right? You spend all of your time there. So yep. They knew you, right? You'd show up, and they'd be like, here comes Will.
Yeah, it was great.
Were you hustling people?
A little bit, not going to lie. You know, obviously no betting because can't do that.
But, right.
You know, playing for some snacks or something like that.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the owner, they own the golf course, but they live on the golf course as well.
Yeah.
And I just became really close with them. And the owner actually just texted me last night. I probably haven't talked to her. It's a couple. I haven't talked to her for at least 2 years. She just texted me, asked me what's going on. So it's cool. I still have that relationship.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about golf is that you do build a community there.
Absolutely. Right? And I think that the other thing that's great is, I mean, at the end of the day, not a ton of kids play golf, right? It's growing for sure, especially with COVID.
Yeah.
But when I was 9, 10, I'm golfing with 50-year-olds.
Right.
So I think that it's something that helped me learn how to communicate with older people and be confident in certain situations, too.
Yeah. You're probably learning the secrets of the fire swamp at that point, too, right? Like they're kind
100%.
Of they're letting you in on some things.
Oh, definitely learned more at that golf course than anywhere. I mean, this is small-town Iowa. Yeah. I was learning a lot.
Probably some things you didn't want to know about.
Probably
at that
some
point.
Things that my grandma was never told about.
Let's hope that she doesn't hear this now.
Oh, she'll listen. Don't worry.
Okay.
She'll be listening.
How do you get yourself mentally ready to go for golf? Because it is such a mental game. And at what age do you feel like you really kind of learned that? Or is it always a work in progress?
Always a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think it changes too. So I think when I was younger, I would get really, really worked up leading into the tournament. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that was always a bad thing because I think it kind of like the anxiety of it kind of motivated me to focus in, right? And get ready for the tournaments. I think now I kind of have this bigger picture where I understand that with where my game's at, like there's going to be good stuff. There's going to be bad stuff. It's just, you never know what's going to happen any day. And you just got to be ready for anything. But in terms of preparing, I think I've gone from being more worried about, am I going to hit the ball good? Is my swing in the right spot? Stuff like that to, what do I need to do on the course to succeed at this specific tournament on this specific golf course? Focusing on things I can control more than something like my swing where at the end of the day, that changes every day.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Your body changes every day. Your swing changes
100%.
Every day.
Yep.
It's such a weird thing.
Yep.
What is your money club? One shot, you know you need to have it. You're reaching for what?
60-degree wedge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything inside of 80 yards. Feel really confident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a short par 4. hitting it after a layup on a par five because I hit the golf ball absolutely nowhere. Hit it short.
Are you sure you have the right loft on your driver?
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe I need to fit myself.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'm just getting old and slow. These young guys on our team literally hit the ball 30 yards past me, and it's hard to swallow.
Yeah. And you're 20 what, 23?
I'm 22.
22.
Yep, 22.
Oh, Will. Just wait. It gets
no, worse. I know. I know.
Give me your best golf success.
Got to go with the biggest win. So I would say 2018, I won the Minnesota Junior PGA Championship, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So then I got to qualify to go play Valhalla against basically all of the best kids in the country.
Yeah.
I played with a kid who actually went to Texas. That the first two rounds I played with a kid that went to Texas. And that was the moment when I realized, like, maybe pro golf is a lot harder than I thought it would be to have as an opportunity. I mean, he didn't even play that good and beat me by so many shots.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah. It is different. Like those courses, I mean, even going out to like Windsong out here.
Yeah.
When it was getting ready for the Big Ten tournament. And this is the level of golf that you're playing at. And those greens were so fast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so different.
Absolutely.
From an average everyday weekend hacker to...
Windsong's a great example of like high-level college golf, of the difference between that and going to play like Highland
right
here in St. Paul, for example. It's just not even the same game.
No.
Yeah.
No, especially the short game, right? Like the putting and it's all different.
Everything. Yeah.
Any holes in one?
Two.
Two of them?
Yeah. So they're both actually pretty funny stories too. So my first one is back at Oak Hills. The eighth hole, I was playing by myself, right? So the last thing you want to do is be 9 years old playing by yourself and getting a quote-unquote hole-in-one.
Right.
Disaster.
Right.
Hit a 9-iron from 99 yards, and I bladed it, right? So it's going straight into this hill, kicks up off the hill, and then rolls into the hole. And I'm like, oh, no, like I just got a hole-in-one. I know and saw it. But on the next tee box, there was three guys. They were, of course, I remember this. Their last name was DeVries, and they were from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And so I yelled at them, and I was like, I just made a hole-in-one. Go look so that I can get credit for this. So they ran up on the green, went nuts, got a hole in one. And the lady's name that I was talking about, the owner, Sheila, they have gummy bears in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
She let me eat as many as I wanted for free that day. It was just the greatest thing ever.
Best day ever.
It was amazing. And then my second one was junior year state, the first round. So it was the third hole at Bunker Hills.
Yeah.
Pitching wedge from 138.
Pitching wedge from 138.
Just dropped right in. That was actually a good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time to do it, too.
Yeah.
So the next hole, what's your adrenaline like?
It was crazy because obviously it's a first round of state. Like, that's about as big as it gets at that point for
me.
And so I went bogey, bogey, hole in one. And then the fourth hole is a par five that I historically have struggled on so bad. So I just remember making the hole in one and thinking, like, all right, I want to celebrate and just go nuts right now, but I got to like just tone it in because I don't want to go on the next hole and make an eight.
Right.
So I actually stayed calm, made a birdie on the next hole, but I made one par on the first nine holes, shot three under with like five birdies, a hole in one, and like a gazillion bow. It was crazy.
Yeah, very odd round.
There was just a lot going on.
Right, because you're one under after four holes when you start bogey, bogey.
Correct.
That's pretty,
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, that's a good comeback.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I've never had anything remotely the same to that since, so.
That would be a wild ride.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about bobblehead golf.
Bobblehead golf. So it all started, Matt and I, we were kind of thinking that once I graduate, we were kind of wanting to do some, maybe go in together as partners on like some online lesson stuff, and we both have massive heads. So we were like, all right, we're going to call it bobblehead golf. But he was like, but until you're done with school, we're not going to go in on that together, obviously.
Right.
So I still wanted to create the account and kind of got bored with it. I was going to just put like swing instruction from buddies. And I was like, no, like I'm going to make this thing outrageous.
Yeah.
So I just post. Another thing I try to do with it is I feel like Instagram and social media is always like everything, the greatest thing ever. Like my life's amazing.
Right.
I wanted to post the exact opposite of like just the lowest points of every day in a funny way. And I mean, people have seemed to like it. So it's been good fun.
You pulled your quad kneeling down on one of them.
Oh my gosh. So when my team listens to this, they're going to give me so much crap. But I was literally, there's a kid on our team for some reason loves to just drink or eat, whatever you want to call it, raw honey before he goes to lift. Whatever.
Fires him up,
Yeah, he likes the taste, I guess. And so I was like, screw it. Let's make a video of me, and then they're going to drop the raw honey in as I go down on one knee. And as I went down on the knee, I was like, oh, my gosh. I just pulled my quad or something. And I would say for a good 5 days, I was actually in pain. Pretty embarrassing. Another sign I'm getting old again.
You are actually getting old.
I am getting old. It's bad.
Yeah. And then there's another one, and people can find it on Instagram. It's just bobblehead golf.
Right? Yeah, all one word.
Courtney Whedon chips right next to you.
Yeah.
That's okay. So I'm going to just say, like, she's chipping into the screen, but you're standing right to the right.
Yeah.
So that's not only brave by you, but that's brave by Courtney Whedon,
too. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. So we were working on her start line. So she was saying, like, she's struggling with hitting wedges way right. And I got to give credit to my buddy, Dean Goodwin, who I've played golf with for a long time. He had a buddy that he was teaching golf lessons to who couldn't stop hitting the ball miles right. And so he did exactly what I did, where he stood just right at the center line where the ball should go if it starts straight, and just stood there and was like, don't hit me. And it, you know, it forces someone to be athletic and figure it out.
Right.
She's like, Courtney, let's do this. And she was just hitting a wedge. Yeah. Turned around, covered my head to be a little safer than Dean, and I let her rip away. I think it worked.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was right on the money. It was right down.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And it had a nice thump onto the screen, too, which at that point, do you hear that thump? And you're like, man, Courtney, you might have swung a little hard here.
Well, to be honest, the scary part of the whole thing is when a golf ball flies close to your head, which has probably happened too many times for me in my life,
yeah,
you can like feel it. Yeah. Not only do you hear it, but it kind of feel it, too.
Right.
And looking back at the video, it's not even that close. But, man, was I convinced that it was within about an inch from my ear.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I was freaking out. Yeah.
Well, good for Courtney for playing along. She's a former guest here.
Oh, yeah.
Courtney's
She's
awesome.
She's funny, yeah.
Yeah. So what else? What's the future, then, of bobblehead golf in your guys' huge heads, your gigantic orange on a toothpick?
Yeah, we'll see. I think that a great Instagram account like bobblehead golf just needs one post to blow up before we become very famous.
Very famous.
I'm very adamant that my account's going to go to 100K here shortly.
Yeah,
maybe a million. Maybe I'll be the best Instagram account ever.
Ever.
That's the goal, okay?
This is an honor for me to be here at the beginning, too.
Before fame.
Yes.
No. I just like having fun with it and posting funny stuff and making people laugh. And I hope it would be fun if it blew up, but we'll see what happens. Just for fun.
Is that your personality on the golf course, too?
Yeah, I would say if I'm not consistently talking to the guys in my group or having a good time, then I'm stressing out too much. I think a lot. Okay?
Yeah.
It might not look like it when I'm out there, but I'm probably overthinking everything I'm doing. Be able to have some guys to talk to, kind of just relax, think about something else. I mean, we're out there for 10 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Is great for me. So, yeah. I mean, I try to keep it a little serious to respect the other guys, but
right.
I mean, if I'm not having fun and chatting, then I'm either playing really bad or trying too hard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So you got to have the right playing partners too.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think I can even make guys that normally would be quiet just talk to me.
Really?
That's
a superpower.
I mean, I don't know. They're probably just really annoyed and wish that I would stop talking. But
yeah. Have you ever had somebody be like...
Not lately. No, I'm more self-aware now, but when I was younger, there had to have been some people that are like, this kid literally does not stop talking.
Yeah. Little 9-year-old will run it.
Oh, yeah. Just nervous. Just so nervous. Just all over the place.
Hyped
trying to calm
on,
down.
Yeah. Hyped up on gummy bears. Like, let's go.
Yes. 100%.
So when you're not golfing, when you're not spending 10 hours on the golf course, what are you doing?
Okay. So most of the time, I'm either sitting on the couch watching YouTube or finding something to do with my friends. We talked about it. I used to be an avid bowler. Mm-hmm. So, like I told you.
Avid.
Loved bowling.
Yeah.
It's just kind of slowed down because, you know, as I'm getting older, my right arm, it just doesn't, I can't take it anymore, like we said. But, you know, I think that bowling was great because it was just another way to kind of just be competitive with stuff. Anything that involves me not having to run, jump, or be athletic,
right.
I'm great at.
Sure.
Run, jump, or be athletic. I am not gonna be good.
But standing still and twisting, that's fine.
It's all right.
Yeah. So ping pong, maybe some darts.
Yeah, darts.
Yeah.
Darts, pool.
pool.
Pool. Yep.
That's a good
one. My dad's
one.
Got a nice basement set up with all that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what were you averaging when you were at your peak bowling?
See, that's the thing is, like, I was an avid bowler, but I wasn't even that good. So, but, like, I mean, I wasn't terrible. I probably would, realistically, I probably would average, like, 180.
That's
but
good.
I did bowl, like, a 240 a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. It's not terrible.
I went bowling with my dad one time in my life that I remember, and I'm, like, in college, right?
Yeah, yep.
And I'm waiting for some friends to show up. He's dropping me off, and he's like, well, I'll bowl with you while you're
yeah,
waiting
yeah,
for your
yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool, that's fine. He rolls two games. He's pretty good. And then his third game, he rolls a 275.
Holy crap.
And he's like, all right, I'll see you.
Yeah, what? That is incredible.
I'm like, who knew? Who knew?
And there's people like that at everything.
Right.
Where they just don't even care, and then they just are better than people that practice every day.
Yeah. He's like, I'll see you around. And I had no idea he could even bowl. And he
That is so funny.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever bowled again. I wouldn't have.
I mean, just go out on a bang. Right?
Yeah. Like, that's it.
Absolutely.
So if you're not bowling, if you're you're hanging out, you're watching YouTube, are you watching, like, YouTube shorts or, like, actual?
Oh, no. I like watching. So YouTube golf is becoming huge.
YouTube golf.
Yeah. So we have with Barstool, mm-hmm. there's the 4Play Pod. And they've started creating a ton of YouTube content, where they just do, like, 2v2 scrambles or something like that. There's Good Golf, which is kind of more for younger people, but still yeah. really good. And then the Bryan Bros, actually. So they're both All-Americans at South Carolina.
Okay.
And now Wesley Bryan won on the PGA Tour, but he's been struggling more lately. And then his brother George was actually better in college, but never really made it to the pros too much. And they compete with guys down in South Carolina all the time, and it's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's just they're very entertaining.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned this a little bit, and you just brought it up again, too. The difference between pro and college.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to be a college golfer, you have to be an elite golfer, I think.
Yep.
But that is a huge step. I mean, it really is eye-opening when you see how good those guys are.
Yeah. So we just got back from GCU's event, and Arizona State had two individuals there, so they're probably, like, they're 8 and 9 guys out of 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so their 9 guy, we'll say, around that spot, shot 62 in the second round, and that's their 9th best player, right? So,
right.
Like, that kind of opens your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, is even par really that good? Like,
yeah.
Some days, yes, but a lot of days with the way that golf's going, you better start shooting some low scores. People are incredible.
Yeah. And they have some history there, too, right? Like, is that Phil Mickelson? Is he an A-State guy?
Yeah. Phil Mickelson, John Rahm. I mean, they're a powerhouse. They've got a lot of great golfers. Yep.
So, what's your future then look like for you? What do you want to do? Do you want to stay in golf?
I mean, I definitely want to keep competing. I don't think I'm ever going to turn pro, just because when I think about golf, I get too high and low with it, probably.
Sure.
And I think if I had to try to make money doing it, I would lose my mind. So if I can stay amateur and keep it fun, but still play and have kind of just a hobby to keep doing, I think that would be the perfect balance for me.
What's your major?
I'm business management.
Okay.
But I'm really into sales.
Into sales?
Yes.
Yeah. A guy who can talk into sales. This seems like a really good fit.
That's what people are telling me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can really just sit at an office cube from 9 to 5. So
right.
I'd probably go crazy.
Be out and about.
Yeah.
So whatever. And if you can do sales, you can work anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what field you would like to do?
I've been talking to quite a few different companies.
Okay.
But I think I probably have landed on doing some. I'm going to start with some software sales with actually my coach's dad.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was talking to him about it. So it should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get that going, and then you guys get Bubblehead Golf going.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I can stay connected with Tommy Golf still, too.
Yeah, you're set
it
for
seems
life.
To be working out, yeah.
You heard it here first. This is the plan.
Yeah.
Or maybe second. You've probably shared this plan with other people.
No, this is...
This is the first time.
Oh, you're
time.
Special. Yeah.
So look at that. That's sales right there. That's good. That's good. Tell me about who's your favorite professor?
Favorite professor? Will Cooley.
Yeah.
I think I have his name right.
I would 99%. Hope so.
It was a while ago now. Professor Cooley, I know that for sure. The reason why he was my favorite professor, one, is that he didn't just give us exams. So we didn't have exams. But for me, I felt like that helped me focus more on actually paying attention and trying to learn versus freaking out about what's going to be on the test.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just so, like, had such great stories, always entertaining. Every class we walk in, there's music before the class.
it's just always good vibes in his class, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Favorite place on campus?
The sim room, our golf room.
Yeah.
I live there. Yeah. My favorite thing to do is I like to practice late at night, so I'll probably start practicing at like 7:30. Mm-hmm. Say I don't leave till 10. It's just really, really interesting, like, leaving campus, no one's doing anything. It's just super quiet. Yeah. But that's my favorite spot for sure.
Yeah.
Besides that, though, that everyone would know about, it's for, has to be Tees.
Yeah.
I eat there all the time for breakfast.
They know you there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, here comes Will.
Yeah.
Let's get him his omelet.
Yep.
Let's get him out of here.
Yes.
All right. So what's your favorite movie?
It's a great question. The two that come to my mind right away is The Blind Side and American Sniper. Mm-hmm. I really like The Blind Side, even with all the stuff that has come out about it, which kind of stinks. At least the movie part of it, because I just thought it was really cool to see, you know, Michael Oher go from where he was to what he became.
Yeah.
And to kind of just, you know, I guess sometimes just realize how lucky that a lot of us are to just have simple stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that movie was good for me to watch when I was young. And then American Sniper is just how detail-oriented he was to be so good at what he was doing. And I think in golf, there's a lot of things that you could take from American Sniper on being really specific and really focused on leaving no stone unturned, honestly, and making sure that you're locked in on what you need to do.
When you're on the bus, how are you entertaining yourself on your way to the next meet?
Oh, yeah. Well, the guys would say that we just talk nonstop.
Yeah.
It's not quiet rides because, I mean, you know, I sit in the front of the van. Because we normally take two. So I sit in the front, and then Matt Armstrong sits in the front of the other van. And so we have three or four guys in each van sometimes, whatever, around there. And we just chat the whole time, to be honest, most of the time,
yeah.
It's just a good time.
That's funny to me in a golf where it's such a quiet sport, right?
Yeah.
Like, be quiet, but you guys got to get all the talking out, I guess, on the way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if we play good on the way home. It's a great time.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. What's on your playlist? What do you like to listen to?
Zach Bryan.
Yeah,
like probably 85 to 90% of what I listen to is just Zach Bryan,
and 85 to 90% of this campus, I believe.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
If I'm not listening to him, though, I mean, number two would be Morgan Wallen, and if it's not country, then it's probably just some like pop. Okay. I listened to more of that when I was younger.
Sure.
Like 2012.
Sure. What would the 2012? so long ago.
Yeah, so long ago.
What would the title of the country song written about your life? What would that title be?
The first thing that came to my mind is like Raging Ocean.
Raging Ocean.
Here, let me explain why.
Yes.
Because I think I've always kind of been described as someone that can be really up and down with, you know, maybe my mood sometimes. Mm-hmm. So think of an ocean, you know, the waves are going up and down all over the place.
Yep.
But we're trying to work on the calming sea. Maybe that will be the second part of my life.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what they say, where it's most calm, it's really turbulent underneath.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, Raging Ocean. Man, that sounds like a country song. I love it. All right, as you wrap things up here, maybe a little bit more time left at St. Thomas. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll
see. Who's to say?
Yeah, we'll see.
But when it is all over and you're all said and done, what would you like your legacy here to be?
I think, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit because obviously we can't make it past the conference tournament, right? So we can't really compete to go to regionals or a national championship. But I think that the thing that I want to be remembered for is being someone that really pushed the team from obviously playing D3 golf, where they were very competitive, did great, to just that next level at Division I golf, bridging that gap and having the team be ready when they can win the conference and go to regionals, to be ready to do that and be like, I helped those guys be able to do that. Would be really cool.
Yeah, love it. Will, great to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
best
thank
of
you.
Luck, Emery, going forward with everything. Appreciate
Perfect.
It.
Thank you.